Welcome to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. I'm Gail Seiler, your host for today. Thanks for tuning in. It seems like spring has finally arrived. The snow has melted and a few daffodils are starting to push through the wet ground. The upcoming week looks to be pretty nice weather. Today will bring a high of 46 and will be mostly sunny. Overnight, it will dip to 30 degrees. Tuesday will be a little warmer with a high of 52. And then on Wednesday and Thursday, it will be warmer still, going into the 60s, but with a chance of showers both days. Then Friday will bring a change with rain forecasts and a high of 41. Throughout most of the week, nighttime temperatures will be mainly above freezing, so that's an encouraging sign. On today's show, we'll hear about an upcoming event called Muslim Day here in Ames. Also, Greta Anderson will bring us an interview with a musician who will be performing at the Pantorium session later this week at KHOI. And in the last part of our show, Crystal Davis from the Ames Convention and Visitors Bureau will join us, as she always has lots of information to share with us about events in the upcoming month. But first, we have Dennis Hart with news from across Iowa.
Thanks very much, Gail. I'm happy to be back here again on this Monday. Flooding and its aftermath made big news again last week in Iowa. This past Saturday, President Trump approved a major disaster declaration for more than half of Iowa's counties, following days of historic flooding. That decision lets the Federal Emergency Management Agency provide disaster assistance to 56 Iowa counties. Governor Kim Reynolds said the state is grateful for the president's action. She estimated that this month's flood damages could total more than $1.5 billion. Among other things last week, levees breached along the Missouri River in three states, including Iowa, and small towns and farms were inundated in the southwestern part of the state. Four of the levee breaches were on Iowa's side of the river. The floodwater ripped holes as wide as 200 feet in areas south of Highway 34. Major utilities were cut off to towns in some areas, and hundreds of acres in farmland were washed out. State officials evacuated dozens of Iowa's most severely disabled residents from the Glenwood Resource Center in the western part of the state to a similar institution 150 miles away in Boone County. In central Iowa, Des Moines closed Prospect Park due to flooding along the Des Moines River. Governor Reynolds and Nebraska Governor Pete Ricketts were among a group of Republican leaders who accompanied Vice President Mike Pence on a tour of damaged areas. The Iowa governor had tears in her eyes when she told reporters, in her words, "I wasn't prepared for the level of damage I saw." Meanwhile, Democratic presidential hopeful Kirsten Gillibrand was campaigning in Iowa last week when all the flooding was taking place. The New York Democrat told a crowd in Des Moines that she knew what the flooding was doing, and she said, in her words, "It's one of the reasons why we deeply need to take on global climate change." One more weather note from last week, word that a project now underway in Iowa is aimed at making roadways safer during the winter. The possible solution? Heating the pavement. The State Department of Transportation and Iowa State University are working together on heating pavement technology. The problem is the cost. Putting in electrically conductive concrete is 50% more expensive than regular concrete per square yard. Politics made big news around the state last week, and as he often does, Republican 4th District Congressman Steve King was in the forefront of that news because of a posting on his Facebook page. It was a post about another civil war, and it said, "One side has 8 trillion bullets, while the other side doesn't know which bathroom to use." The message was annotated with the image of a smirking emoji and mused, "Wonder who would win." The post was deleted on King's page, and his office did not respond to questions about the picture and his reasons for posting and removing it. Reaction to all this was quick in coming. The Democratic Party in Clay County, which is in King's district, had a message for the congressman. Quoting now, it said, "Iowa would be better off if you just resigned." Harvard Law Professor Lawrence Tribe said King was inciting treason. Ample reason, the professor said, for the House of Representatives to expel him. Later last week, King was speaking at a town hall meeting in Algona when a woman asked him whether a white society is superior to a non-white society. The congressman said, in his words, "I don't have an answer for that. That's so hypothetical." One more note involving Congressman King from last week. A man from Colorado was arrested for allegedly throwing water at the congressman while he was eating lunch in Iowa. It took place in Fort Dodge on Friday when 26-year-old Blake Gibbons was arrested for assault and disorderly conduct. Meanwhile, last week, Iowa Republican U.S. Senator Joni Ernst said she does not approve of President Trump's recent derogatory comments about the late U.S. Senator John McCain. Ernst said, in her words, "John McCain is a war hero. He's a friend of mine. I can't stop the president. What I can do is say, Mr. President, I don't appreciate it. Still on politics, Democrat Eric Giddens was elected to the Iowa Senate in a special election last Tuesday. He won the Senate District 30 seat that represents Cedar Falls, Hudson, and parts of Waterloo in northeast Iowa. He will replace Democrat Jeff Danielson, who resigned from the Senate last month. In other news, a Des Moines sports radio host was killed last Tuesday after he was struck by a semi on Interstate 80 near the East Mixmaster. 44-year-old Gantry Wolfgang Miller had stopped his vehicle on the right shoulder of I-80 when he got out and was struck by a passing semi. Miller had co-hosted The Drive with Wolfgang and Steen for 1700 The Champ Radio. On the crime beat, a Council Bluffs man was charged with first-degree murder for allegedly sitting on his girlfriend's young son, killing him. 31-year-old Larry Darnell Murphy was arrested after he and his sister called 911 because of an unresponsive child. Murphy had been dating the 2-year-old boy's mother, who said he sat on the child for about 20 seconds in order to punish the boy. Meanwhile, a northeast Iowa man was charged with murder in the killing of his son, who was found shot to death in rural Bremer County. 59-year-old Daniel Niebuhr was charged with first-degree murder in the killing of 36-year-old Brock Niebuhr. In Maquoketa, authorities said a man suspected of trying to steal items from a dentist's office died after fighting with a dentist. The dentist said he was staying overnight in an apartment at the office when he heard a noise. He said he found the man in the office's garage and tackled him. Police found the dentist on top of the man, who apparently had some kind of medical episode during the struggle, and died. Also last week, word that 9 defendants who had pleaded guilty to sex trafficking crimes in the Des Moines area had been sentenced to federal prison. The U.S. Attorney's Office said 7 of the defendants were part of the same case, in which Des Moines residents were charged with using violence, threats of violence, emotional manipulation, and other means to coerce their victims into engaging in commercial sex acts. Meanwhile, a former art teacher at a Des Moines high school admitted to inappropriate contact with a student. 51-year-old Josh Soliday pleaded guilty and faces up to 2 years in prison. Soliday had been arrested last year after authorities said he had a sexual relationship with a 16-year-old student. In Dubuque, a former teacher who was accused of being drunk at her school pleaded guilty. 38-year-old Aaron Ellerbach was ordered to pay $135 in fines and $60 in court costs. She was taken into custody last December at Jefferson Middle School when an officer reported she had slurred speech, red and watery eyes, and smelled of alcohol. A subsequent blood test showed she had a blood alcohol level of nearly 3 times the legal limit for driving. Ellerbach has resigned from the school. In another case, an Iowa man who brought a loaded gun and marijuana on a party bus in Des Moines was sentenced to a decade in prison. 28-year-old Nicholas Ryan Haynes was arrested in 2017 after a party bus was pulled over for a traffic violation in Des Moines. Also last week, an Ankeny police officer shot and injured a burglary suspect at a car wash. Authorities said 27-year-old Miles Matthew Reginald of Des Moines was shot after he refused to comply with instructions and advanced toward police. He was not armed. Meanwhile, an Ankeny woman died this past Friday night in a single vehicle crash. 40-year-old Melissa Jean Spears died when her Jeep left a roadway on a curve and struck a sign and a tree. At least 2 people were hospitalized in Ankeny and about 40 more were displaced after fire broke out in a 3-story building last Thursday. Fire crews helped people evacuate the building on Northeast Crestmore Place. Meanwhile, in West Des Moines, a firefighter was taken to the hospital with minor injuries last Wednesday after responding to a house fire near the Valley Junction area. The fire left a home with extensive damage to its interior. There was more last week, including a report that a small town in northwestern Iowa had ended its decades-long practice of treating the city's drinking water with fluoride. The Ida Grove City Council voted to halt fluoride treatment in the city's water supply. The move came after city leaders and residents questioned whether the fluoride was effective at preventing tooth decay or whether it presented health risks. A recent survey sent out in utility bills found that most residents did not support fluoridation in the city. Also last week, word that a Virginia company plans to buy WOI-TV Channel 5 in Des Moines. Tegna reached an agreement with the Nexstar Media Group to buy WOI, along with WQAD in Davenport, as well as stations in 6 other media markets. Tegna now has 49 TV stations and 2 radio stations in 41 markets. In sports last week, basketball made big news, with both the Iowa State's men's and women's teams taking part in the NCAA tournament. On Friday night, the men's team lost to Ohio State 62-59, knocking them out of the tournament. And there was word that ISU coach Steve Prohm might be on a short list of candidates to become the University of Alabama's head coach, but Prohm downplayed that idea. Then on Saturday night, the Iowa State women's team opened their NCAA tournament play by defeating New Mexico State 97-61. The Cyclones' next game will be tonight, Monday, against Missouri State at Hilton Coliseum. And that is your summary on this Monday of a very busy week indeed of news around Iowa. I'm Dennis Hart, and I'll be right back here in this seat on Friday with a look at whatever makes news this week in Ames. In the meantime, have a great week.
Thanks to Dennis Hart for that news update, and we heard a bit of Celtic Song by Adrian von Ziegler at the end. And we've been joined in the studio now by Dr. Majoub Jaili, who is the Imam of the Darul Arkam Islamic Center in Ames. Thank you for being here.
You're welcome.
And we also have with us Rami Shoke, who is an ISU student. And they are going to be talking with us about a number of things today, starting with an event that they have coming up, which is called Muslim Day in Ames. Tell us about that.
Thank you very much. Muslim Day in Ames, which will be on the 30th of March, and it will be from 11 to 4 p.m. That's going to take place at ISU. The purpose, Brother Rami is going to elaborate much more on the purpose of the event. This is actually a combination of, cooperation between Darul Arkam Islamic Center and Pakistani students who are behind this event. And what the activities are, there will be lots of activities. Let's say in the beginning, we would like to send a welcoming and an invitation for everyone in Ames, in Greater Ames community, to join us on March 30th.
And Rami, you're going to tell us more about it and the purpose and what's going to go on?
Yeah. So as the Imam said, on March 30th from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Iowa Farm Bureau Pavilion on the north side of campus on Osborne Drive, we're going to be hosting basically a social event, and we're inviting anyone who'd like to come and take a look at Islam and talk with people, learn about their experiences and whatnot. The event is targeted to give people a new perspective on Islam rather than what's been shown in the media, because that's been the primary source for everybody around the world right now. So it gives them another angle to look at Islam, see the true image of what Islam is, and meet the people that actually live amongst them, because all the things you've been seeing in the media is this person and that person. You've only been seeing individuals and their actions rather than seeing the collective as a whole. And so it's very important for people to come and take a look at who their neighbors are in Ames. And if anyone around Ames or nearby Ames wants to come in as well and learn Islam, that'd be the place to do it. As the Imam also said, we'll be having a lot of activities, cultural-based activities like henna, calligraphy, which is a specific way of writing the Arabic language. And it can almost be defined as an art because it's how beautiful it is. We're also going to have food. No one ever says no to cultural food. So, yeah, it's going to be an exciting event.
And it's open to the public? Anyone can come?
Anyone can come.
Families, children,
absolutely friends. Everybody here.
Okay.
We're hoping that a lot of people do come, because it gives us the ability to interact with them and create a long-lasting relationship between the mosque itself and the Ames community, and hopefully start building a more cooperative community between the Muslim community and the Ames community, and help everyone achieve their goals, whether it be they're coming as students to Iowa State or businesses here in Ames. or people coming from abroad to start their lives here, just create a more cooperative environment for everyone to succeed in their endeavors.
And so it sounds like there will be some fun activities, some food, as you say, but also an opportunity to learn about Islam and ask questions, because often people have questions, but they're reluctant to ask.
Exactly.
This is really interesting because, you see, people have a poor understanding. If no understanding about Islam, this would be an opportunity for them to learn more about Islam and Muslims. We in Darul Arqam Islamic Center, we've been doing our best to reach out for the community. And thanks to Darul Arqam neighbors, they reach a lot and we reach a lot to them. There are also AIMS religious leaders in different religious centers here, and we are communicating with them. We have mutual relation when it comes to interfaith events. Yeah, we really do take different activities together and collaboratively together. Yeah, this will be really interesting in this regard.
Have you had events like this in the past?
Yeah. 2 years ago, we had an open house that was in Ames Library. Yeah. And we also had an open house that was Darul Arqam Islamic Center. Yeah. And they were both very amazing. Many people visited us. We learned a lot about people in Greater Ames.
Yeah. So this is something you've been doing
on an ongoing basis.
Yeah.
And we expect this to be more exciting. Why? First of all, the number of visitors we expect. In that event, we had the first one 250, the second one 500, and now we are targeting 1,000 visitors and maybe more. They are all welcome.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, and we are all prepared for that. The place, the venue, everything is. In addition to food coming from different corners of the world, we have Muslims coming from over 70 different nations. So people will have a taste of exotic food, different types. Yeah, coming to Greater Ames here.
And
so everybody, welcome. Yeah, to enjoy the different funds we have. Thank you.
And you'll have plenty of room for that many
of
people
course, in
that location.
Yeah, it really is very big.
Why did you feel it was necessary or important to do this now?
Yeah, in this time, actually, when people have misunderstanding, different misconceptions about Islam, or even when Muslims have poor understanding about people around them, this will be a very good opportunity for us, you see, to understand one another. Yeah, because the message of all the messengers of God, the prophets of God, have been calling for one particular thing, that is worshiping the one true Lord. So we can do within, you see, the Abrahamic faith, we can do a lot in order to achieve that particular role and that particular duty of worshiping the one true Lord and understanding one another, because we are all following the footsteps of Abraham. May the peace and blessings of God be upon him.
It sounds like you envision the learning going both ways.
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Yeah.
Rami, tell me about the involvement of students from ISU in this event.
So as the Imam had mentioned earlier, we're doing a collaborative event with the Pakistani Student Association. The intention is that majority of the Muslim community at the mosque is comprised of Iowa State students coming from overseas to study at Iowa State. And so in order to get them to invite their friends, the best accessibility we have for the Ames community to come along with the students would be to host the event on campus. And so being involved with the Pakistani Student Association gives us the ability to interact with the students at Iowa State, show them who the people coming from abroad, who they are, what are their ideals, what are their goals, what are they supposed to, you know, the person they're supposed to embody when they come to a foreign nation, and just start building that connection between the mosque and the university. And as I said before, create that collaborative environment.
On a more serious note, while Ames is geographically very far away from New Zealand, how have people in the Muslim community here been affected by what happened in the mosques there?
Yeah, it really affects us in many ways. First of all, when you hear a brother in the far east and southeastern corner of the world has been seriously hurt, a community that's been seriously hurt, over 40 people killed in cold blood without actually doing anything wrong. And Muslims, by the way, haven't been doing anything wrong. It could be the media that is doing something, fabricating a number of ideas, but it really, it shakes us a lot. It shakes us a lot, spiritually, physically, and let's say this is the time when people feel really scared. When you're moving the road, you may expect someone, even though Ames has been really peaceful, people have been so friendly, but because of happening in that part of the world, you expect someone to do something that is very inhumane, something that is very harmful to you. That's why people are walking with a lot of caution in this regard. And but when you see the police, doing their best in order to help you, you feel really comfortable. Yeah, and when you see the people saying hi, hello, and I really like to send thank you message for those who came in with lovely bouquet roses to the Islamic Center, sending this friendly message to us, and those who were everybody who came to the Islamic Center for this love sharing message. Thanks a lot. Thanks a million for them, actually. Thank you very much.
That's wonderful to hear that you received that kind of response. And you've been imam here in Ames now for about 4 years.
Yeah.
What has that experience been like for you?
Yeah, it really is exciting. As I told you, when I came to Ames in the beginning, you know, when you move to a place for the first time, yeah, you don't know what it is like, but when you see the people, when you see how friendly they are, when they exchange these smiles, and specifically our Muslim community in Darul Arqam Islamic Center, and by the way, people like working with numbers. We have over 400 students, ISU students, in addition to 17 faculty members, and different families and people who are working here serving in Greater Ames. Yeah,
and are involved in the Islamic Center.
Yeah, that's what it is. So I like the place very much, specifically when it comes to my kids, because I have all graders from kindergarten, preschool, middle school, high school, and elementary. I have all these graders. They like Ames very much. And when I ask them, would it be okay if we move to another, go back to Chicago, for example, they say, no, we want to stay here. We like our friends very much. So I also like the friends and the people in Ames very much. Thank you.
And Rami, what's it like to be, I know everyone's experiences are different, but in general, what is it like to be a Muslim student at ISU?
I've been actually posed that question quite a lot, and I don't ever think I give the full answer that I guess satisfies people. I mean, it gives me a sense of pride to know that I have an ideal that I, you know, follow a constitution, much like the American Constitution, that I adhere to and that individualizes me compared to other people, and a background that allows me to discuss matters with people, and rather than all of us just unanimously agreeing on something and just moving on, a lot of the things that I say challenge people's ideals. People challenge my ideals. We get to learn from each other from there, and basically, build myself, build my character, and you know, make me a better person by the day. It's a learning experience, is what it is.
I have a question. So here's one of those questions you never get the opportunity to ask. It's a very simple question. You call your center an Islamic center. Is there a difference between an Islamic center and a mosque?
Yeah, interesting. Actually, I prefer the word masjid, or we use the word Islamic center other than
the other word term?
Mosque. The word mosque is actually was first used by non-Muslims, but it has a different connotation. That's why we refrain from that. I prefer the Arabic word, the equivalent, masjid or the Islamic Center. But using the word mosque and using the word Islamic Center, the masjid is normally smaller, doesn't have any other kinds of, it's just a place where people go for prayers.
Place of worship.
But the The Islamic Center is where we have different kinds of activities. They could be Sunday school or normal school, and they could be different kinds of activities that bring Muslims together. We also, we also help poor families, who are lacking for food, clothing, different kinds of things. That's where. And by the way, this is one of the pillars of Islam, where we have poor people being helped by certain ratios of your deposits, ranging from 2.5% up to 20% of your savings, annual savings. You give that. It's obligatory.
It's responsibility.
If you don't do that, you're responsible for giving that. So as long, when it arrives to the Islamic Center, then the people on board are those who are responsible for dividing this, you see, to the families who they are in need. We keep an inventory, and we have different names and locations of people, who are really in need in the community. That's what we do in order to help them. There are also different, we learn about the Quran, that is a revelation of God, the last testimony. And we also learn about the different, biography of the prophet and what he left behind as legacy in terms of his traditions, his sayings, what he's acknowledged, because Islam is actually about putting the faith in practice. So how do we put in practice? We refer to the life of Prophet and how he told us to pray, how he told us to give charity, how he told us to fast, and how he told us to perform pilgrimage and the like. So without actually referring to the life of Prophet and how he put that in practice, won't be able to do anything. So it's like a place where we also learn about the Prophet and his way of life in order to put that in our lives too.
Thank you for explaining that. For our listeners, repeat when and where this will be.
Yeah, this will be at ISU. The address is 2143 Osborne Drive. That is Farm Bureau Pavilion.
And thank you for coming in again today.
You're welcome. And thanks for KHO Radio as well. Thank you.
We'll put a link to the information about the event on our website when we post the show later today, so people can refer to that to get more information. And we hope you have a turnout of 1,000 people.
Oh, or more. Thank you very
or
much.
More.
Yeah.
I've been speaking with Dr. Majub Jaili, the Imam of the Darul Arqam Islamic Center in Ames, and also with Rami Shoke, an ISU student who's involved at the Islamic Center. On Wednesday, March 27th, KHOI will host one of their famous Pantorium sessions, and that means that you can hear live local music right here at the station or over the airwaves. This week, it will be a bluegrass group put together by Ames banjo player Mark Hargrove. They are called the Iowa No Mountain Boys, and reporter Greta Anderson brings us more on this group.
Here in the studio, on their way to practice over at Mark Hargrove's Ames house, are the Iowa No Mountain Boys, the band that's going to be playing for the Pantorium sessions on Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. They comprise Mark Hargrove on banjo, Kyle Murphy on mandolin, Don Pippins, guitar, lead singer, and Tabitha Hood on bass and harmony. Mark, you're from Ames. Kyle, I understand you're from Ames. And then Don, the lead singer and guitar player from Fort Dodge, Tabitha from Des Moines. So Iowa No Mountain Boys, I understand this is a rather new name for you guys.
That is correct. This is a group of people that have not played a lot together officially as a band, but we get together a lot and play informally. And when we were approached to play at the Pantorium series, we were asked to get together some local talent, and this is the first group of people I think of when I think of talented people that live relatively locally to the Ames area. And we decided on the name the No Mountain Boys because it has not escaped our attention that there aren't any mountains in Iowa, and as many of the bluegrass bands that we're familiar with have mountain boys in the name, we figured that we would distinguish ourselves by pointing out the obvious land where we live, and so that's how we settled on that. We got mountains in the names without having to live in the mountains.
And where are all of you from originally? Any mountains in your background?
Well, yeah. I'm originally from Georgia. My parents still live in the mountains in Georgia, and I just came back from there over spring break. So I see a lot of the mountains, and so think about them a lot. And a lot of that music is in the background of what I listen to. But I've been in Ames now for 20 years, and that's the longest I've ever lived anywhere. So I consider Ames to be my home.
Okay. Kyle?
I'm originally from California, but I lived 7 years in eastern Tennessee, which is right in the heart of the Appalachian Mountains. So I have a lot of mountains in my background, and I'm certainly very influenced by the music there and playing music there.
Okay. Tabitha?
I grew up in southeastern Iowa, in Albia.
Okay. Not a lot of mountains there.
Nope. Lots of hills.
Hills, exactly.
Iowa mountains, I guess.
And it is in the south. There is a kind of different culture.
Yeah.
And so did you hear this kind of music growing up?
Yeah. My family had a band. We've played bluegrass my whole life. My dad and uncle had a band, Fox River Grass. My sister Cindy and I played in a band with Mark, Southern Rain, for several years, probably 10 years. Bluegrass my whole life.
And finally, Don.
So I was raised in Louisiana, and not a lot of mountains in Louisiana, but a few. But my work has put us all over the U.S. and Canada. So I don't think there's but one mountain range in the U.S. that we hadn't stomped around in. And home now is north of Cincinnati, and which is, you know, southern Ohio, and that's mountainous on that end. We like the mountains more so than the flatland. We're just out here working. And
what kind of work are you doing?
We do construction management.
Okay.
up in Fort Dodge.
All right. Well, there you go. They're bringing the hills and the mountains to the flatlands, the farmlands of central Iowa. The Iowa No Mountain Boys. You get together. How often are these gatherings at your house?
Every month or so we get together, and we usually trigger one if Don's available. He goes back and forth to Ohio a lot, and if he's in town and Kyle and I aren't playing somewhere with another group that we play with, then we'll organize a gathering at my place and get together and play all of our favorite songs and play for fun. That's been going on for a couple of years.
What is it about the mountains you think that inspires the bluegrass sound?
Well, in the mountains, there are lots of places to hide bodies, and a lot of bluegrass songs are about murder and death, and so I think that just that leads to a lot of the material that we do. Well, bluegrass originated, it's believed, in the Appalachian mountain range with the advent of bluegrass by Bill Monroe and the Bluegrass Boys, and it's been a fixture in that region of the United States. And so I think it's more a regional musical issue that happens to be located near the mountains than anything else, but I could be wrong about that.
I know some people from Scotland maybe settled in the south.
Kyle's a college-educated bluegrass person, so he can probably talk to that.
Yeah, Kyle, fill us in.
Well, I'm not an expert on this. I know certainly the roots of bluegrass music go back to Scottish and Irish music and fiddle music with people immigrating to the U.S. and settling in the mountains. It still very much lives on in what we play. I know a lot of the fiddle tunes we play have roots in old fiddle music from Scotland and Ireland.
And is the fiddle the same thing as a violin?
Yes, no difference at all.
Okay, it's just
all in
stylistic.
Okay.
What is it? You make $100 to $200 a gig for playing the fiddle, and you'll make $500 to $1,000 for playing the violin, though, right? Isn't that the difference?
I should start playing violin.
That's right. Good money, either case. So how do people respond here? Do you find that there's a lot of bluegrass enthusiasts in Iowa?
The best bluegrass fans are the funnest ones to play for, are those who are not really familiar with bluegrass. I think it comes across as a very striking and crisp, clear sound, and the harmonies and the rhythm are not like other forms of music that you often stumble across at a live show. So I think not having a lot of familiarity with bluegrass, it's embraced almost everywhere we play. Like if you're playing at a farmer's market or something where people are not used to hearing bluegrass, then it's usually the people like it a lot. Yeah, it's not hard to sell bluegrass.
Well, I don't know how many years ago it was, 15 or so, that Oh Brother Where Art Thou made such a big splash, popularized the genre.
That happens every couple of decades. There was Deliverance in 1970-something. You know, before that was 20 years before Oh Brother, and that generated a lot of popular interest in bluegrass and certainly directed the course of its evolution as a music, and I think Oh Brother did as well.
And besides dead people and crimes, the two songs that you have shared with us, we'll listen to one of them in a moment, are churchy kinds of songs or reference church and religion. Talk about the role of religion in bluegrass.
So a lot of the folks that came up and got into bluegrass, I think, came out of church. You know, so that gospel influence was always there. And then, the Southern singing in the churches with the parts and the harmonies in the churches. And I think it was just a progression, to include that. I don't know hardly any group that's been or is today that doesn't have, gospel songs in their mix. So it's as much, a lot of the bands, they'll be traditional bluegrass and gospel.
Harmony is a huge part of bluegrass, and there is no better harmony than bluegrass gospel.
Yeah.
Okay.
I can do without all of the instruments and just do a cappella if it's all good, because it just runs chills up my back. Harmonies are what it's about.
And we're listening to the lead singer. So you'd be singing the melody, and everybody else is singing harmony.
Yes, ma'am.
So you're going to come here and play in our front window to a live audience. We've already got 44 people have responded to our Facebook ad with interest or a commitment. So that's pretty exciting. And then that will be broadcast live over the radio. I was telling you about our different feeds. We're debating right now exactly how we're going to mic all these different instruments and voices. And you mentioned that you might have a condenser mic at the center, which is that scene from Oh Brother where they all gather around the microphone and sing into it, and then their instruments can be heard sort of in the distance.
So that can be an art, because all of us have a different level of volume. And my wife and I, we lived in Charleston, South Carolina for a couple of years, and I played regular with a group down there, and we did one mic. And my wife would actually sit in the audience, and she'd have a sign that had an arrow pointed up and the backside would point down, and that was my clue to back up or get closer because I was so loud. So it's actually an art to going in and out of the mic. You learn one another's, who sings loud and who has the soft voice, and you have to make room for them. And so it's not just, you just don't walk up and do it. You have to think about it a little bit.
You don't have a mic, though, when you get together and play at Mark's house, do you?
Generally, no. And so that's you end up sitting where you like the mix the best in the room, I guess.
That's interesting.
But we do sometimes record, to see where we things are picking up on the mic, and so it's not hard to figure it out if you put a little bit of effort into it.
Okay. Anything else we should know or look forward to for your performance on Wednesday night?
I can't think of anything. I just encourage people, if they like bluegrass, to come on out and give us a listen, and we'll do a little bit of everything between gospel and bluegrass instrumentals and regular good old mountain murder ballads. I think they'll all be mixed in there.
Okay, and maybe we'll make a little space where people can move around if they are so inclined.
Always encouraged.
Okay. Thank you so much for stopping by our studios. Mark Hargrove, Kyle Murphy, Don Pippins, and Tabitha Hood, members of the Iowa No Mountain Boys, and looking forward so much to your show on Wednesday night, the Pantorium Sessions 7 to 8, a show before a live audience that will be broadcast live over the radio. Tune in or come through the door and enjoy the sounds.
Standing in the need of prayer, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer.
Thanks to Greta Anderson for that segment, and don't forget to come to the Pantorium session and hear that amazing music on this Wednesday from 7 to 8 p.m., or you can listen to it live on KHOI on the airwaves or stream it live online. You're listening to Local Talk. I'm your host, Gail Seiler, and we've been joined in the studio by Crystal Davis from the Ames Convention and Visitors Bureau. Crystal, your visit at the end of February was snowed out, so we're glad you made it today.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here.
We missed you because you always give us lots of good information of things to do in the upcoming month. So let's hear about April. Going on?
So last month was all about snow, and so we're looking forward to spring. And of course, we have a flurry. I'm using a winter term there. We've got great things happening in April, and a lot of them have to do with getting you outside and thinking about spring and enjoying nature. But one of the things that we'll start off with is keeping you inside. If you're into trivia, we encourage you to go to Mucky Duck every Monday night for quiz night, and it'll be a fun evening. And so every Monday at 8 p.m., we encourage you to head over to Mucky Duck and try your knowledge out there and have a good time. Starting in April, there's going to be Exploring Art class at the Octagon Center for the Arts here in downtown Ames.
Across the street from KHOI.
Right. And so they're going to do a four-week session with six adults and child pairs. So please register right away and get into that.
So it's an adult and a child. Mm-hmm. You go together.
Right. Cool. And they're going to explore works of art while learning new skills like tearing paper, gluing, cutting, coloring. And so what a great opportunity here for children who are 18 months to 3 years old, and so they can start early and learn about art. Yeah, it'd be a great time. If you believe that you're older, wiser, and livelier, there's a great session with the Owls, which is with Story County Conservation, and they're going to learn about public art and the tradition of campus aesthetics. This is Tuesday, April 2nd out at McFarland Park, and they're going to have University Museum staff come talk to them about what's going on ISU's campus and the campus tradition beginning with art. And you don't have to be older or wiser. It's open to everyone, but it is the Owls group that's hosting this, so be sure to check that out on April 2nd. You know, we have had a lot of water with the snow melt, so Story County Conservation is also hosting an event on April 3rd with the revised flood hazard information. It's a brown bag lunch and learn session. So that's at 11:30 on Wednesday, and you can learn about what's happening. Some FEMA and updated flood hazard maps are available. They're just going to talk to you about what's new and what's happening in Story County.
Right, because they've revised the floodplain maps, and apparently that has implications for people in different neighborhoods.
Right, so this gives you your opportunity to go out and ask some questions and learn more. Mm-hmm. So I mentioned it's getting close to, we're in spring and thinking of all things outdoors, but maybe you're craving the farmer's market. There's a farmer's market going on right now indoors. So the North Grand Farmer's Market is every Wednesday from 3 to 6 p.m. at North Grand Mall. So you can start early with some of your home goods and baked goods, jams and jellies, and get you ready for the good summer season coming soon.
And the outdoor farmer's market doesn't open quite yet, not in April.
Not quite yet, May.
May. Okay.
So look forward to that. But in the meantime, you can get a little, whet your appetite at the North Grand Indoor Farmers Market there as well. Actors is still going strong. You guys got to check it out. This April, they'll be having the 39 Steps. And this is a fast-paced comedic show. And they're going to have four actors who play over 150 characters in this murder mystery. And so they have shows that go through the first part of April. And so we encourage you to check them out and support our local community
theater
as well.
They do such a good job.
They do great work as well, yeah. I encourage you to check out ISU After Dark or the M Shop over at ISU campus. I'm not going to mention everything they do, but they've got great shows, comedies, music coming. So there's just a plethora of them in April. And so check out their calendar and be sure to check that out. They've got great musicians and creative people coming in. What a great opportunity that they stop here on their tour. So I invite you to check that out. April brings Easter, and so at North Grand, they're also having a time when you can visit the Easter Bunny. So this is going to be on Saturdays all day out at the mall. And so they're going to have the Easter Bunny there, and you can have your picture taken and kind of get you ready for spring and what's coming.
So that'll be the Saturdays leading up to Easter?
Correct.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Starting April 6th going through April 20th.
Okay.
So all
so
day.
Several weeks. Mm-hmm.
Several weeks for your opportunity to see the Easter Bunny and head out there. If you like barbecue as well as good scenery while you're enjoying a train ride, we invite you to head over to Booningsea Valley Railroad. They've got their Sunset Barbecue train ride going on right now, and it's on Saturdays all through April. It begins at 4:30 p.m., and you get a great opportunity to have some great barbecue as well as, you know, enjoy the train ride. You don't have to worry about driving. Enjoy the scenery and have a great view of the great sunset. So check that out over at Boone and Sink Valley Railroad all month in April.
I have never been on that. I maybe need to do that.
I have not been myself.
No?
But I've heard, I know, I need to go. I know.
Cynthia, our engineer, is giving the thumbs up. She's obviously done it and enjoyed
right.
it.
Yeah, I hear it's fabulous. They do a good job over there. So they're also, we're thinking about cooking this spring, so we invite you to come down to Cook's Emporium on April 13th and April 27th at 10 a.m., and they're going to have a demonstration by Hannah Swanson, and she's going to show you how to make a layered naked cake. And so you might have seen some pictures of that where maybe it's not so full of frosting, but they still look stunning and beautiful. And so there's two Saturdays in April where you can come down and check that out. And I've done that before where there are demos. It's a great time to meet new people, learn a little bit, and it's always a great, delicious sample that you get at the end. So check that out at Cook's Emporium. Spring flowers, if you're looking for something to hold your spring flowers, you can go out to Art Sakati, Sakati Art Glass, and West Ames is having a vase-making workshop. It'll be April 13th, and it's about a 30-minute workshop, and they'll have people who will work with you and show you how to make that vase. It always means more when you make it yourself, and it'll be a beautiful work of art.
So a blown glass vase.
A vase.
Wow. They have wonderful things that I hear about out at that glass studio.
Gorgeous yeah, things they yeah. can do. And then you get to make it yourself. More things outside. If you head out to McFarland Park on Sunday, April 14th, they're having a tailgate party. And this is celebrating water trails. This will be at 2 p.m. And they're going to have a bit of a party honoring water trails. And they'll have an associate professor from Northland College and an ISU alumni and an Ames native. And they're going to share the history of rivers as they were, they were highways before there were roads. And so what a great opportunity to learn more about what's happening in our water trails here in Stewart County. At Fisher Theater in April, they're going to have a presentation called Iowa Odyssey, or How We Got to Here. And this is how does the idea of immigration connect to our community's past and present? This is a collaborative project exploring local stories of immigration and an idea of what it means to create community. So this is in late April, 26th and 27th and 28th at Fisher Theater, and should be a great presentation on how we got here, our Iowa Odyssey.
Very educational.
Very educational.
Yeah.
Right. Well, we thought we were talking lavender flowers earlier, Gail, but we'd like to point
something
out,
else
yes,
lavender.
It's something else lavender. The M-Shop is hosting Lavender Country with Paisley Fields. This is Thursday, April 18th, at the M-Shop, and they're going to be having some country music and celebrating some music that was very popular in the 70s and has come back 40 years later. So we invite you to check that out, Lavender Country with Paisley Fields, later in April.
And the M-Shop is not open during the summer, so if you want to take in some of their shows, now's the time to do it before the semester ends at ISU.
Absolutely.
Because they do have a lot going on.
And it's a great location, very unique, and has its own character as well. So, yeah. Another Cook's Emporium demonstration that I want to bring to attention involves three of our local organizations here. They're going to have a demo called Trio of Excellence on April 20th at 10 a.m., and they're going to have Morning Bell Coffee Roasters, Little Woods Herbs and Tea, and Lockwood Cafe, and they're going to talk about, kind of present on what they do best. And so learn tips and tricks for your morning caffeine routine. And they're going to also talk about some new and upcoming things with their business. So that could be a fun and delicious presentation on April 20th at Cook's Emporium.
Cynthia's excited about that one. Tips for your morning coffee routine, yes. Cynthia.
Yes, we can I get into that too, yeah. Well, more things Easter. There is a geocache egg hunt that'll be happening on Saturday, April 20th. It'll be at 10 a.m. at McFarland Park. And it's a new age way of hunting for eggs. And you're going to learn how to use GPS, and then you'll go search the woods to find the conservation bunnies' nest of hidden treasures of prizes and candy. And so this one does require registration, so it's, check out their website and get signed up as well. And they will have, it's welcome to children and families of all ages, and so a fun new way to hunt for Easter eggs this year.
I wonder if you need to have any special equipment.
Sometimes they provide things for you. But they might be able to show you how to use your own phone.
Your phone.
To use it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Stevens Auditorium, has turned 50 years old. They're performing performing arts series. But they're getting ready to announce their next series on April 23rd, starting at 6:30 p.m. at Stevens Auditorium. You can check out and be one of the first to know what they're bringing this year.
So that'll be for their next season.
Yes, starting next fall. So be sure to check that out, April 23rd at Stevens Auditorium. And they always bring a good wide variety of shows here and we're so lucky we can experience all that great music and performances here as well. And to continue on, they're also having a special lecture series, Cheers to 50 Years. Stevens Auditorium marks a milestone on Wednesday, April 24th at the Ames Public Library. And their executive director will present about the first 50 years and a quote from an Iowan commented as he entered the new C.Y. Stevens Auditorium to hear the New York Philharmonic on their opening night. He said, "It's a hell of a hall for a cow college." So what a way to start. So come hear about their first 50 years on Wednesday, April 24th at the Ames Public Library. A favorite event coming to Ames downtown is Music Walk, and that'll be back on April 26th. That's hosted by the Ames Main Street Organization. And this is where it's a family-friendly event. There'll be music inside and outside our local businesses down here. And you can enjoy dinner in one of the downtown restaurants and check out the stores as well as the beautiful music that'll be playing by local artists. And that's Friday, April 26th.
And everything will be open in the evening.
Correct.
I wonder if KHOI is going to be involved in that. I suspect they probably will, although I haven't heard the details yet.
Yes.
But that sounds like something that especially the music folks here would jump on to be involved
It'll
with.
Be a great event. And once you're done with that, they're going to start the Reggie Sleepout, which starts Friday night, April 26th, and goes into Saturday, April 27th. That'll be hosted here in Ames. It'll be at the Cyclone Sports Complex at ISU, and you can sleep under the stars on the field. And this is all to raise awareness for youth homelessness and YSS Assault Care Center extending shelter and support, and Emergency Residence Project are all behind all that to bring awareness and help raise funds for youth homelessness. And so
great cause.
It's open to anyone who wants to go and experience that. It's usually a good so that'll be April 26th. The Midwest Children's Choir Festival is coming on the 26th as well. They will start at 7 p.m. at Stevens Auditorium. And so what a great festival and a great chance to hear a mass choir of 400 singers. And they're primarily in the 5th to 7th grade age range. So a great concert by some of our local youth as well. The 2019 Arts Awards will be presented on Sunday, April 28th. That's starting at 1:30 p.m. in the Octagon Center for the Arts. This is put on by the Arts Council. And the event is open to everyone, and they'll be celebrating those who celebrate the arts. So a great afternoon of art appreciation and appreciating the folks behind that great art. Smartphone photography. Head out to McFarland Park on Saturday, April 27th. They will be hosting a session where you can learn how to get the most out of your phone's camera. And it'll be led by the owner of Photosynthesis. That's right down here in downtown Ames. Mm-hmm. Lisa Hovis will be presenting All You Need to Know. And they're going to practice your newfound skills on the wildflowers that are blooming there in the woods. So check that out at 1 p.m. on Saturday, April 27th.
Okay, we probably have time for, we're almost getting through one or two
more. I invite you to check out, Ryman Gardens always has great things going on all the time, but their big opening weekend of They're going to have an opening weekend of the sculpture exhibit on Saturday, April 27th, and it's going to coincide with their 2019 theme of toys and games. Be sure to check that out. They're going to have great fun things, things that you can hands-on, all about toys and games and having fun with the family. So great opening weekend for that as we look forward to their new theme. They always have great things going on. And we just encourage you to always check out the websites of Iowa State Center. The workspace at Memorial Union has great classes where you can learn hands-on and how to make art, or the Iowa Arboretum. So much to choose from all the time.
And you've given us quite a selection. Indoor, outdoor, artistic, educational, just fun. Anyone who says they're bored around Ames, it just isn't taking advantage of all that's here. And your website is?
thinkames.com.
Okay.
And we have a calendar link in the upper right-hand corner, or you can follow us on social media at Sites of Ames. And we spell that like your favorite mascot, Cy, C-Y-T-E-S of Ames.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming in, Crystal Davis from Ames Convention and Visitors Bureau. It's always great to have you with us each month. And this is KHOI Community Radio. You've been listening to Local Talk. I've been your host, Gail Seiler. Local Talk is broadcast on KHOI at 7 a.m., noon, and 7 p.m. on Monday and Wednesday, and 7 a.m., noon, and 5 p.m. on Friday. You can also listen to today's Local Talk show and all of our past shows online at our website, khoifm.org. Local Talk was engineered by Cynthia McClure. Our theme song is Backtracking by Al Harris and Tom Richards from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley. As always, stay tuned to KHOI because coming up next is Democracy Now! And national news headline from Pacifica Radio. And that will be followed by Morning Masterpieces. Remember, your participation as audience and supporter is what makes KHOI possible and meaningful. Thank you for listening and see you again on the radio.
Funding for KHOI is provided in part by the Iowa State Center, presenting the San Francisco Symphony, March 29th, 7:30 p.m. More information can be found at center.iastate.edu.